Yud Gimel Sivan, 7th of June, Rabbi Benji Landau, waiting between meat and milk.
Sheets have been distributed. Good morning, everyone. Towards the end of this week's parasha, we have the episode where Bnei Yisrael were not satisfied with the man that they were given. They had time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the man, and they decided instead that it would be more suitable to have other choices. So Hashem seemingly gave them their wishes and gave them the meat that they so desired. And they stuffed themselves full of it. And then it says that Abbasar Eidenu Ben Shinehem. The meat was still in their teeth. It was still there. They hadn't even finished consuming the meat. Temi, Kariz Vaf Hashem, Vaf Hashem, Chara Ba'am. It says Hashem was angry with them, sorely angry with them, and he brought a plague onto Klal Yisrael. This idea of Habosar Eidenu Ben Shinehim. Let's discuss what it means to have meat between one's teeth. It's a little bit early for that. But I thought that this was an apt point to access the sugya of waiting after consumption of meat to eat milk. Because in fact, what we'll see in a few minutes is the Gemara in Chulin will discuss this very case. What happens if you have meat stuck within your teeth? Does that render one fleishik such that you have to wait before you can eat milk again? Also, being that last week was Shavuos, I thought it would be suitable to talk about the subject. We know that we have a minhag in Klal Yisrael to eat only milk when it comes to Shavuos. Few different reasons brought down in the Mefarshim. One of the famous ones was because they didn't know Hilchas Kashrus, they didn't know Hilchas Bas B'Chalav prior to Maimon Har Sinai, and therefore all of their kelim, everything was treif, so all they could eat was milchiks. Let's talk a little bit about the sugya. I think everyone should have a sheet now in front of them. Okay, let's have a look where the Gemara starts over here. The Gemara in Kuf Hey Omud Aleph in Chulin. Excuse me, Kuf Dalad Omud Beis. Says the Gemara then, Tana Agra Chamua de Rabbi Abba. Agra taught, Oif Ugevina, chicken and cheese, Ne'echalin ba'apikorin. They can be eaten in a, apikorin is a lashon of hefka. In an offhand manner, you can eat it casually. In other words, the assertion over here is, you can eat chicken, you can eat cheese, no worries about waiting between them, it's all fine. Hu tani la, vuhu amar la. He taught it and he explained it. He explained there was a further nature there, a further halach that one needed to know. You don't have to do washing your hands. In other words, less you might think there'll be some meat on your hands. No, don't even worry about that. Don't worry about doing what we call kinua chapeh. Get the idea, which we'll perhaps talk about if we've got time, that when you eat milchiks first and then you eat fleishiks, we know there's an idea that you're supposed to wash out your mouth. So you rinse it out, and then you eat something, a crack or a piece of bread, something to take away the residue of the milk, the cheese. Here's it, when it comes to chicken and milk, when it comes to chicken and cheese, all bets are off. Do what you want. No need to do kino hapen atilas yadayim. Now, the Gemara relates a story on the same topic. Rav Yitzchak berei the Rav Misharashia ikle lebei Rav Ashi. Rav Yitzchak came to the house of Rav Ashi. Aisule gvina, they brought before him, cheese. Achal, and he ate it. Aizle Bisra, and then they brought him some meat. Achal, and he ate it. Vle Moshe Yodeh, and he didn't even wash his hands. Amri Lei, so he said to him, Nu, what's going on over here? Va Tani Agra Chamu Adir Biaba, has not Agra taught us, Oy for Gavina Nechal and Bafikoyim, that chicken and cheese may be eaten in an offhand manner, in a casual manner, and the inference over here is, Oifu gvina in, basa gvina loy. The chicken and cheese may be eaten in an offhand manner. When it comes to meat, real flesh, that together with cheese cannot be eaten in an offhand manner. Everyone understand the kasha? Anyone very unhappy with the kasha? Nachamal. The Gemara said, Agra to Azalacha, Oif Ugevina, Nechale Ba'afikon. Then in this Maisa with Rav Yitzchak ben Eder, Mashashi, he went to Rav Ashi's house and they brought him cheese and they brought him some steak. At the time, and how can you do this? How can you do that without even at least washing your hands? Has not agra to, as you have to eat when it comes to eating chicken and cheese. Yeah, that's okay. But cheese and meat, that's not okay. That's the kasha of the Gemara. A good kasha?
No.
Why?
Because it's the wrong way around.
It's the wrong way around. Yeah. Why is it the wrong way around? We'll come back to that in a second. Says the Gemara, answering up the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara says, Amaluhu, Hanimuli Balelian. That's only at night time. The need to wash one's hand, in other words, the Gemara is saying yes. It's true that the Gemara, when it talked agra zalacha, it was only talking about consumption of chicken and cheese. And it was true that it was only by chicken and cheese that when you eat them, you can eat them in an offhand manner without even requiring the tilas yadayim. But when it comes to meat and cheese, then taka, you do need the tilas yadayim. Aye, so why didn't he do it? Because the halacha that you only need to do the tilas yadayim is only referring to nighttime. Why? What's the difference between night and day? Can't see it. In other words, maybe there's something on your hands. Maybe there's something there. If it's night time, you're not going to be able to see it. So wash your hands just in case. says the Rav Yitzchak, but I was eating this in the day. I can see there was nothing on my hands, and it's okay. The Poskim actually talk about halacha that comes out of this. Well, what about if I had the lights on? Now we live in modern times. We've got lights. What about also if I ate with a knife and fork? Which usually we do. So if we eat with a knife and fork, there should be no concern for any residues of the meat on your hands. So the Mepharish didn't talk about that. Now let's go back to the Gemara, the question that a few of us had, which is why is the Gemara having shver on Rav Yitzchak from Agra's halacha? Agra was talking about chicken followed by cheese. Here, it was cheese followed by meat. Why cheese followed by meat? Should there be a problem with it? So let's have a look at Tosfos, which you've got highlighted on your page. Oivavina in Basa Avina Loi. Tema! Frank Toysus, I don't understand. How can you ask me a kasha from Gvina Achar Bosa, Abosa Achar Gvina? It's the wrong way around. The Rav Yitzchak, because in the case of Rav Yitzchak, Gvina, the Achakach Bosa Achil. It was only first he consumed the cheese, and only then he ate the meat. It's not even similar to the previous case of what Agra taught us. So how does the Gemara have shver on Rav Yitzchak from the halacha of Agra? It's the wrong way round. Okay, follow along for the Tosfos Cheshbon over here. Dahachi parich. The brayse the Agra mashma oif v'vina nechal b'afikoyim belina tilasidaim belokino chaper. The halacha stated by Agra is you can eat chicken, you can eat cheese, no need to do kilo chaper, rinsing of your mouth, no need to do netilas yadayim, it's all fine. Aval shar bosar, but any other meat, in other words, if you get proper steak, yeah, then boy netil of kilo chaper. Then you taku would need to do kinuach, rinsing the mouth, washing the hands. Okay, vehichidomi. Now what is the case in which you would need to do a netilas yadayim between consumption of milk and meat? Says the Gemara, vehichidomi. If we're talking about that you consume the meat first, why not? Because you have to wait. That wouldn't be sufficient anyway. You have to wait till the next meal anyway, which we'll soon see. We're talking about you ate the cheese first. In other words, even though the halacha stated by Agra was talking about consumption of the meat type food first and only then the dairy food, the inference that we take out of that halacha towards real meat, not just chicken, must be a reference to consumption of the dairy first and only then the meat. And that's the case where there should have been the tilas yadayim. That's what the Gemara had shver. What was the teretz? What was the Gemara's teretz?
Daytime.
Daytime, you don't need them. Now, either way over here, what we definitely see is there's no need to wait between chicken and milk and cheese. So that's going to be problematic because our custom is not like that. And Tosfos, in the bit that I haven't highlighted over here in the Hemshech, he actually raises this and he says, he refers us to the next Gemara. Let's have a look over here. Says the Gemara, this is now from Kufa Yamud Aleph. Gufa, Amar Rav Chisda, says Rav Chisda, Ochal Basar, if one ate meat, also lechol gvina, he's now forbidden to eat cheese, gvina, but if he ate cheese, Mutu lechol basar, he's allowed to eat meat, Amalei Rav Acha bar Yosef l'Rav Chisna. Rav Acha says to Rav Acha bar Yosef says to Rav Chisna, Bosa sheben hashinayim. If one ate a fleishik's meal, and at some point later on realized he's still got bits of meat stuck in his teeth, what do we consider that? Do we consider that to be still richtig a proper meat, such that he has to wait? Or do we not? Says the Gemara, Kariyali, he applied the following pasuk, Habosar Eidenoi Ben Shimehen, the meat was yet still in their teeth. And we learn from that, says Rashi, that the fact that the Torah calls it Basar Ben Shimehen, it doesn't say that something was there, or there was some, you know, their mouths were still full. It says it was still called Basar, still had a din of Basar, and Rashi tells us that what that means is Alma Mikri Basar, still has a din of Basar. We'll come back to that in a second. Omar Mar Ukva, says Mar Ukva, I, Lahal Milsa, with regards to this Indian, Chalabar Chama, I'm vinegar the son of fine wine, Legabi Abba, in compared to my father. The Ilu Abba, because what did my father do? Kiava Achil Bisra Idna, if he ate a fleishik's meal at 12 o'clock lunchtime, Layava Achil Bin Adlamacha, he would not then consume cheese until when? Ad Hashta, till the same time the next day. So anyone who's planning on having today lunch, having fleishiks, 12 o'clock, you couldn't then have a cup of coffee until next day lunchtime. That was his halacha. The Anabi, he said, but me, Marukva, Anabi hasil the suhuda layachilna, I just will, if I eat meat in one meal, the suhuda sachrisa achrisa achilna. When it comes to the next meal, then I'll taka be okay to eat. We come out of this Gemara, we see three things. Three things we can bear out of this Gemara. Number one, that after consumption of meat, one has to wait before consuming dairy. Number one. Number two, you don't need to wait until the next day, only till the next meal. And number three, even after eating, basar shebena shinayim has still got a din of basar. Now, what we don't know is two things. Number one, we don't know why. We don't know why when it comes to why after eating fleishik, so we're not allowed to eat milchiks. That doesn't seem clear anywhere here. Number one. Number two, all we know is that Mar Ukva says, I am more makel than my father. And I won't eat meat from one, between, in the same meal, but from one meal to the next, then I'll eat chicken, I'll eat dairy again. What we don't know is how much is the shiur of one meal to the next. And there's two obvious candidates, which we'll discuss. So let's have a look. Let's have a look at why a second. Have a look at Rashi. The first Rashi in the second chunk of Gemara that we've got highlighted over here. Osalechel Gavina. Mishum davasamaiti shuman, because meat has all sorts of kind of fatty qualities in it, and it keeps on emitting and imparting the flavour of meat. Vu nidbak fakeh, and it's attached and clings to one's mouth. Umarich bataimai, and it keeps on giving off its flavour. So in other words, even after you've finished eating your meat, you've washed up the plates, you've finished, the meat's still there, and even if you've finished it all and you haven't even got any basar shebena shinayim, you've used the toothpicks, doesn't matter. It's still emitting flavour into one's mouth. And therefore, that's enough to say it's asur to eat milk until it's gone. That's Rashi's reason. If you turn over your page that you have, the Rambam says a different reason. Let's have a look at Rambam Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros Perek Tes Halacha Chaf Ches. Misha Achal Basar, one who has eaten meat, betchila, bein basar behema, bein basar oif, whether it's meat or chicken, lo yeichal achrav, you may not eat after it, chal, milk. Until there has been a different meal. And the amount of time has elapsed that it's considered to be a different meal. And that is about 6 hours, which we'll come back to in a second. Why? Because even after you finish your meat, and you've had a dessert, you've cleansed the palate, there's still meat stuck there. We have two Rishonim now giving us shittas why we have to wait after consumption of meat. Number one is Rashi who says, Marach B'taimoi, Motzi Shimon Marach B'taimoi, it's emitting all sorts of fatty flavors. And the second one is the Rambam who says it's not because of that, it's because there's still meat in your mouth. The meat is still there. Let's have a look at some nafkaminas between them. Look at the Shach, this is in Sivan Pei Tes, Siv Beis. Says the Shach, let's say you were just taking some meat and you were softening it in your mouth to be able to then give it to a child. You don't need to wait. Why not? There's no time. Ein zoch lam. In other words, the assumption over here is the time is only a factor when you swallow it, when you eat it. Now, just putting it in your mouth is not enough to render that, you know, this motzi tam. So if you're just, you know, kind of sucking or chewing on some meat to be able to soften it for a child, that doesn't render you flacious, according to this reason. Ein zoch lam, to give it to like achla, you said you haven't eaten it, ein motzi tam doesn't give it, emit the flavors. The Rambam nosen tam l'shehiyah. The Rambam gave a different reason. Mishum basa shevene shenayim, right? This is the reason we saw in the Rambam. Now it comes out, according to the Rambam, if you were to chew the piece of meat to soften it for a child, now there's going to be a rift of concern that what? You've got the meat stuck in your teeth. That's going to render you flacious, according to the Rambam. So we've got one nafkamino. So it's good, says the Shach, to be the chumras of both. Now, just an interesting halacha. This is taken out of the Kaf HaChaim in Peites Dalad. He says like this, that we've got two reasons why it might be problematic. Number one, because it emits certain fatty flavors once you've eaten it. Or number two, you've got the basa in your meat, in your teeth. Can you conceive of a situation where you would have neither of those two concerns?
Yes. Where you chewed food for a child and then you took your teeth out.
Liquid.
Seriously.
Liquid. Okay, that's good.
Soup, liquid.
Oh, but what about it?
You wash it. Doesn't get stuck in the teeth.
It's not going to get stuck in the teeth, oh, but
the time,
so that's not going to help. So what about like this? Friday morning, Balabusta comes down. Oh, Balabusta comes down. She's making the chicken soup. She wants to taste it just to make sure it's all okay. But she doesn't want to eat it. She doesn't want to be flacious. So she tastes it, and then spits it out. So bring the Kaf HaChaim, v'davka loyes, you don't have this in front of you, sorry. V'davka loyes, aval tam b'lashoyna, you polat miyad, if she just tasted it and spat it out after she was convinced that it was okay, I think that's what you're supposed to do when it comes to tasting. That's what they, certainly with the wine connoisseurs. Ein zarech la'amtin l'kuli alma, according to everyone, you don't need to wait. So an interesting kula over here that comes out of these two shittas. What we're still now stuck with is, what? Oh, but once that we know the basof is included, the interesting thing was it would probably apply even to beef soup, if there was no chatichos basof. Okay, now the thing we're still stuck with at the moment is what is considered a different meal. What's a sudasa chrisa, as he called it? Let's have a look. You might have noticed that the Rambam Paskin very clearly, the amount of time one has to wait is sheishos. However, turn back again to the Gemara, have a look at Tosfos there, it's highlighted for you. It says Tosfos, Yusudasa achrisa achilna, another meal I would yet eat. Lav besudasa shiragin laasei zachas shachris viachas arvis. I don't mean, says Tosfos, the Gemara doesn't mean, says Tosfos, you know, that our meals, in other words, they seem to have two main meals a day, not like we have three. Not like that. Even immediately, it would be okay to consume milk again. Provided you clear the table, ubirach, and you've benched. Muta deloit b'vrepa. Over here, says Tosfos, this unbelievable kula, famous shit over here. Now, what does it mean, sudas achrisa? It means that I've just finished that meal. I've benched, I've cleared up. Okay, now can I go and eat my milkings? So we've got quite a significant machlokes over here. Says the Rambam hukmoi shishois, and we've got the Tosfos that says in birech in silikat shulchan birech mutzel alta. How do we paskin? Let's have a look. Turn back again. Says the Shulchan Aruch sim peitesi falef och al basa afilu chay vayif layechal gavina achrov. Don't eat milk after consuming meat. Ad sheyishe. Sheish shais, until you've waited 6 whole hours. Vafilum shakashir, and even if you then wait 6 hours, if you then find that you've got meat between your teeth, tzarech lasir, you have to get rid of it. But vahalos v'tinoik, tzarech lahamdin.
The same
villa,
not the same mill, but
same. For purpose of this discussion, is cheese. It's cheese. Yeah, but for purpose of discussion, it doesn't matter. The nafkamina between cheese and milk, it'll be if it's the other way around. There may be enough gvina, which we're familiar with when it comes to gvina which has been aged. Okay. The funny thing is the Rambam did. If you look at the Rambam, he taka did. Look at the top of your page. You'll see at the top end of the first line on the top of your page, leichal achrav chalav. So interesting. The Shulchan Aruch was mishana the loshen. Okay. So we've now got the Rambam says kishay shayis. We've got Tosfos says immediately. We've got the Shulchan Aruch paskening shay shayis. Zog the Rambam v'yesh oimrin. The ain tzrichin lahamdin shay shayis. You don't need to wait 6 hours. Rav miyadim sirik ubirech. It would be sufficient. You clear the table, bench, birchas hamazon, muta al dei kinoach hadocha. As long as you do kinoach hadocha, that's going to be fine. That'll be sufficient. He goes on, skip the brackets. V'aminah kaposha b'mdinas elu. However, the accepted practice in our area, lahamdin achar chilas avosu shah achas, is to wait after consumption of meat. Wait 1 hour. V'eichel achar kach gvina, and then you can eat cheese. Miutzrichin levarach gamkem birchas hamazon achar hamazon. The Oz have a kesuda acheres. The mutar lechol the Rebbe Akilin avol bloy because Moshe loy behani amtol shai. What he's saying is that if you don't bench, nothing's going to help anyway. But the point is, he's brought now two shitas so far. One is he brought the shita of the first one.
Was the Rambam? Sorry, which one?
The first shita that the Rambam brought was shita of Tosfos. He said mutar miyad, just bench and you're fine. Then he brought a new idea, shah achas. Now he hasn't finished. The yesh medak the kinam din shei shoyz achar chilas basa lekvino v'chein nochan lases. Interesting to Ramah that he started by saying, bringing down Tosfos Shita, immediately go and eat milk. Then he brought Aminat Pasha from Dinas Elu, is that you just have to wait 1 hour as long as you bench. And then he brought the Yesh Medaktikin to wait 6 hours. So the full spectrum of it. How does the Ramah himself pass him? You don't have it in front of you. The Taz in Sifkot Beis over here in this sermon seems to learn that he's definitely passing that Shah Achas. That's how he's learning. Now, the question is, Meich Tesa. Where did he get from 1 hour? And it's a point of debate, and the Taz later on seems to say that he's coming from the Zoya that says that you shouldn't eat meat and milk in the same hour. B'sha'achadata. Sorry? Yeah, he does, but the Shaila is where does one come from?
Where does that come from?
Yeah, so immediately we understand. Six, we understand. Three, we haven't. That was the Rambam.
No, the Rambam
says, "Look, no, he's saying that's what a Suda means. Suda over here, Suda over there. That's what I do. There's roughly 6 hours between. Again, not like us. We have breakfast, lunch, supper. There, they had some kind of 11s. That was one meal. Then they had, you know, a supper time at, you know, 5, 4, 6, something like that. So, look, that I can understand. Immediately, I can understand because that's posh of chat what it means. A different Suda. I benched, I cleared the table, now I'm in a different Suda. But to say 1 hour, that's considered to be a kiyum of the Lashon of Suda Acheres, it's difficult. So the Taz brings from the Zoya, what it must mean is that it's talking about, he's coming from a Zoya that says that you shouldn't eat meat and milk in the same hour. In other words, even according to Tosfos, where theoretically it should be Mutter, according to the Zoya, it would be problematic. That's how the Taz is learning. The Shach is learning, which one second, the Shach is learning that even if the Ramah is passing it like that, we cannot pass him like that. We have to pass him 6 hours. Okay? Now, we've got 3 minutes left, so we'll just finish off with two. We've got two more things to clear up from here. Number one is the sheet of 3 hours. You'll notice conspicuously missing from over here is 3 hours, A. And B, a sheet that's prevalent that some people know about, which is waiting not 6 hours, but a variation on a theme, which is 5 hours, 5 hours and 1 minute, 5.5 hours. Oh. So let's have a look at it. Huh? Into the 6 hours.
Everybody spotted the difference between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, in Islam.
Okay.
So they talk about the commercial shows. The problem is like this. The problem is, according to the Shita, is that Paskin, certainly for Ashkenazim, for example, the problem is, how do we Paskin? How do Ashkenazim Paskin? According to the Rambam. What's the Rambam?
Three Shitas.
Which is the one that he's a Vamina Ganochem in Medina's Elu was 1 hour.
Yeah, 1 hour.
So the Etzem we're paskening 1 hour. It's a chumrah of hours to Nem on 6 hours. That's our chumrah that we've adopted in Klal Yisrael that we want to do. But the Etzem we're paskening the Ramos, says 1 hour. So now, if you want to say that it says in the Rambam, Vuhu Kamoi Shei Shois, it's not relevant to Ashkenazim because the Ashkenazim are not coming from the Rambam. We're coming from a chumrah. Just I don't know if this helps or not. When it comes to Chalav Akum, for example, we'll finish in just a few minutes. When it comes to Chalav Akum, there are two shitas. Either it's awesome in Rabbanan to loy plug and it's forbidden completely, or it's not, but we're machmir. If you hold this loy plug, then it's a Rabbanan. If you're machmir, there are shitas that bring down that you're passing in a tmuta, but you're machmir. That's got a din of a neder, and now that makes it a din de araisa. That makes it much worse. So it's the same over here. If you paskin like the Rambam, okay, then you can talk about kemoshe shois. Ashkenazi Jewry who are paskining 6 hours, deloika Rama, that seems to say 1 hour, it's not that we're coming from the Rambam. We're being machme on the Rama. So to come and use lu kemoshe shois, to bring it down from 6 to 5.5, 5 and 1, 5, very difficult to understand. What about another shita? The Abi Oiba brings down that there was a problem that, okay, we've all got watches and this and clocks everywhere. So back then, they didn't have any idea, you know, to be the dactic in the exact time, they didn't know. The Abi Oiba says it's not good enough. It's not good enough because, okay, so fine, so they could get away with, you know, the 5.5 to 5 and 1. We know what time it is. We all know what time it is. That won't be sufficient for us. So the idea of 5 and 1 minute, 5.5, needs a little bit of explanation. And finally, finishing off with the minhag of 3 hours, where does that come from? So a little bit of contention, I don't know. We won't do a straw poll in the room now, how many people keep 3 hours.
Why not?
We won't. When the cameras are off and the phones are off. There's a Rabbeinu Yerucham that's brought down in the safe, it's the Heta, Simon Lama Tess, where he brings down that one of the justifications may have been that in certain parts of Europe, where the days in the winter were so short, that the amount of time where there was daylight, and therefore the amount of time between their meals, was significantly shorter. Therefore, that was called Sudas Achrisa. That's the difference between 3 hours. And therefore, even in other areas of the world, there's a much, you know, either in the summertime or in other areas of the world, but even in the winter, there's a longer period between morning and night. 3 hours is sufficient, and that's where the minna came from. It's certainly got a basis in Ashkenazi Jewry, and for people who have the minna, it's a richtig minna. For someone who's now becoming, let's say, Baal Tshuva, and wants to come into Yiddishkeit, and wants to, you know, he's grown up around the corner from, you know, Hendon and Golders Green, and he sees half of his chevra around him and keeping 3 hours, he would not be allowed to take on 3 hours. It can only come from an established Masoira and tradition minna. If you're coming into Yiddishkeit, you have to take on 6 hours. Shkoyach, good morning. Hey.